Hello there, fantasy baseball fans. I'm Paul Williamson. This is Fantasy MLB Today, a sports ethos presentation. Thank y'all so much for joining me, guys. It's been a rough morning for me, and I did it to myself. I did it again. I mentioned, about a week or two ago on this podcast about how I screw myself at night. I get off work. I don't feel like running errands. I just say, I'll just do it in the morning. I'll do it tomorrow. It's fine. Because I just got done working like a 10-hour shift. I don't feel like going to the grocery store. And this instance, I needed coffee. And I'm kicking myself now because I woke up and I didn't have any coffee. And so I was mad at myself for not getting coffee. And I don't know why I can't go do errands. Well, I do go to the store when I get off work sometimes. It's not like I don't, but I prefer not to. And I just was lazy last night. I was lazy, okay? And so I woke up this morning kicking myself, going, God dang it, Paul, you fat, lazy piece of shit. Why didn't you go get some damn coffee last night? Now I have to write the podcast, record the podcast without coffee. And I'm slightly hungry, too. And you know what, guys? I get hangry. I definitely get hangry. So you're lucky that Mackenzie Gore is not on the probables list for tomorrow, because I'd be yelling at you. I'd be pissed. I'd be mad because I've told y'all numerous times he's not a freaking stream. He's not. And so I would just be livid right now. But Mackenzie Gore isn't on the list. There's actually some not super interesting names on the list. Nothing for me to get too overly angry about. So you're welcome. You won't have Mad Paul today. Papa Paul will not have to come out and berate you because there isn't like a Mackenzie Gore on the list of someone that should be rostered and not be a stream. So on that front, thank you. I really do appreciate it. Make sure you go follow me on the Twitter at PaulW_34, at PaulW_34. Get all my random thoughts throughout the day. Any updates to the podcast, any content that I create will be on there. I definitely appreciate it if y'all went over there and followed me. I also would love it if you rated and subscribed the podcast. I'm patting myself on the back for remembering to do that and not just remembering toward the end of the podcast. I am becoming a big boy podcaster. I am remembering to ask you to rate and subscribe. So yay me. So reward me, please. Reward my memory, which is turned to shit thanks to, let's just say 420. So I am very much happy when I can remember minor details like that. Speaking of remembering minor details, I guess this isn't too minor because it pays the bills. But we have to give a shout out to our friends and buddy old pals at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of 150 slot games. Head over to the website today, get in on the action, use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. Alrighty, y'all. Let's get into what you're here today for, what you want from your boy Paul, and that's Pitcher Streams. Yesterday, the podcast was hosted by my man Anthony Cates, and he gave you the options for today, and I will quickly recap those before I dive into tomorrow's streams. Remember the rules. 65% is the cutoff point. If they are over 65%, they would not be talked about. If you should not use them at all, you're not touching them with a 10-foot pole, they will not be on the list. But everyone else, everything in between, including some fades, will be on the list. Alrighty, y'all. Anthony led off with Mitchell Parker against Miami. He says that's a 14-team play or deeper because Mitchell Parker does limit the home runs and Miami sucks. Chris Paddock against Oakland is a very good option. I agree totally on this one. Needs a 12-team option, even 10-teamers. If you got to throw something out there on Sunday, you can go for it with Paddock. He has a good chase rate, a good strikeout upside, and he has the Oakland Athletics. Tyler McGill is the next one. He has a good strikeout upside, and even though the Padres' numbers look good, Anthony points out how they haven't faced a good right-hander in a while, so he's going with McGill tomorrow, or today rather. He talked about Spencer Arrighetti, but we found out about that yesterday. It didn't go very well. The Astros are throwing out I believe they're throwing out Eric Luer, I think is the guy's name. You're not using him. It doesn't matter. All right. And then he gives you five names, well, including Mitchell Parker, five names of kind of deep league dart throws, guys that you're not don't care about your ERA and whip, but you're looking for those counting stats. He gives you Jameson Taillon, Kyle Harrison, Ben Lively, and Colin Ray. There's Jameson Taillon, Kyle Harrison, Ben Lively, Colin Ray. And then finally, the two fades for him were Cutter Crawford and Brady Singer. So if you had those two dudes, you probably want to put them on your bench. I've got Brady Singer, and I've got him on my bench in both leagues. Alrighty, y'all. Before I dive into tomorrow's streams, let me give a quick shout out to Ethos Fantasy NFL. That's the Twitter handle you need to go follow if you want to win your fantasy football league. Go check out all their content. The Ethos, the Fantasy NFL Today podcast hosted by Mr. Sanderlands is really something that you're going to want to listen to for the rest of the year. I know you want those bragging rights to beat your friends, right? You don't want to be the guy that's just constantly losing. That's, you don't want to be that dude, right? You want to be competitive. You want to win. You want to win your fantasy football league. Go follow Ethos Fantasy NFL. That's at Ethos Fantasy NFL. Go get all the content. Guys, we are providing so much content and so much information for you to help your leagues. It's not even funny. All right. Let's start with tomorrow's streams. And the first name on the list is kind of a new name. His rostership has gone down in recent days. It's Yusei Kikuchi. And he's 63% owned, and he has Boston. And I think that it is risky. But I think in 12 teams, you're definitely going to use Kikuchi still because there are some things about his last couple of starts that I like about him. In shallower leagues where he would be a stream because of his rostership, I'm not too sure, especially on Monday in those head-to-heads pretty early in the week to be risking your ERA and whip. Even though I like Yusei Kikuchi a lot, I really do. I think we're really close to him being back to being kind of a set and forget kind of pitcher against the vast majority of leagues. But okay, let's just get into the nitty gritty here. He has a 3.26 ERA. The fielding independent pitching, the FIP, is 3.09. So that's good. He still has a great strikeout rate at 23.6%, a solid walk rate of 5.9%. He's got that 12.8% swing strike rate. That's really good. A 29.8% CSW. That's also really good. But look, where things went off the rails for him was against the Pirates and the Tigers a few starts ago. He only got 6 whiffs in the fastball against Pittsburgh and only 1 whiff on his fastball against Detroit. And that's going to be the key, right? His success is predicated on the four-seamer because he throws it a lot. He throws it like 40 to 50 times a game, and he throws everything else about 15 times or less. So the fastball, the four-seamer, has to be effective. That four-seamer is not earning whiffs, and the four-seamer is not getting the results, then it's going to be hell for Kikuchi. Well, the last two starts, he has 12 whiffs, in his last start against Milwaukee, in 11 whiffs, two starts ago against Baltimore. So against two very good offenses, that fourth seam came in the clutch, and he's pitched very well. And so that is what kind of makes me say he's super close. It's two starts in a row against two really good offenses. And so if you want to go with him in shallow leagues, I would go for it. I would. But the one thing you do need to keep in mind is that he has been getting hit hard. His average exit velocities, hard hit rates, and barrel rates are well below league average. He does get hit hard. And so but then again, that's part of where his struggles were in those starts a few weeks ago. So because things are looking better, I do think Kikuchi is on the right track. I do think he's a 12-team play in standard-sized leagues. I would probably fade him in shallower leagues because I do think the risk is still there. Boston is 16th in the league against lefties in WRC+, and they're a little bit better offense than what they've shown this year, I feel like. And so there is risk with Kikuchi the way he's been getting hit hard. But 12-teamers, I would use him if you have him on your roster. I would probably start him, especially in those daily change, everyday change, roto leagues. I'm probably rolling with him in 12-teamers. I would fade him, however, in shallower leagues until we start to see him really push that four seam through and really start to see what we know and love from Kikuchi. Real quick, I want to give you a quick fade here. Reese Olsen is generally a pretty popular stream. However, he has the Braves, and they're heating up again, y'all. We've talked about a few times this podcast recently about how the Braves were scuffling no more. They are. You will avoid Reese Olsen. Okay, John Gray is next. He is 54% owned. He has the Mets. The Mets are a very tough matchup, and overall, I'm calling John Gray a fade because the Mets, I don't want to mess with the Mets right now. I do like John Gray. I think he's a solid pitcher, but solid pitcher does not make a good matchup against a great offense, and it's right now, that's what the Mets are. They're fourth in the month of June in WRC Plus overall. They're 12th overall against righties in WRC Plus. That ranking has been coming up. Even though John Gray does have some good numbers for him, he has a 2.17 ERA with a 2.66 fielding independent pitching. He also has a really good strikeout rate at 24.3% and a 7.3% walk rate. But this is where things become dicey for John Gray. He has a very low home run to fly ball ratio of 4.6%. He also has a ground ball rate that is just around league average, so he's not like getting a ton of ground balls. He's still allowing a good amount of fly balls, and he's allowing them to get the ball in the air. And on top of that, with a low home run to fly ball ratio, he has been getting hit hard with very high exit velocities, hard hit rates, and barrel rates against him. His home run to fly ball ratio throughout his career has been 11 to 15%. He has been getting incredibly lucky on the home run front, and he's going up against a Mets offense that is crushing it right now. He has an above league average line drive rate of 25.4% to go with all that hard hit, barrel rate, average exit velocity numbers. That 4.6% home run to fly ball ratio just ain't going to stick, bud. It's just not going to stick. We're going to start to see the ERA and FIP come up. I do not believe that John Gray is going to be this freaking good for this long. If he is able to continue, if he is able to have a good start today, if he is able to continue this string of honestly luck, I would sell John Gray high. I would try to trade him for what you can get because I don't think it's going to be there all year. There's no way he can continue to allow this kind of hard contact and have such a low home run to fly ball ratio. Okay, let's move on to Braxton Garrett. And I am more watching this start than I am interested in using Braxton Garrett in my leagues. I do think that he is definitely a 14-team option or deeper because he has the Cardinals who suck against lefties. They're 29th now in the league in WRC Plus against lefties. I remember just a couple podcasts ago, they were like 27th or so. They're only getting worse against lefties. And so the Cardinals suck against lefties. So you can use Braxton Garrett in those 14-team leagues. I still see him as a bit of a risky 12-team play. Especially early in the week in those head-to-heads, you don't want to risk your ratios so early. So Braxton Garrett is a bit of a fade, especially in the head-to-heads and 12-team everyday change roto leagues. I'm probably fading him, even though I can see it, man. The Cardinals suck. The Cardinals are terrible against lefties. And so if you roll with Braxton Garrett tomorrow in those 12-team leagues, I'm not going to blame you because you're playing the matchup. I get it. But Braxton Garrett has a lot of issues to work out. He has a 6.10 ERA. However, the FIP of 3.89 is pretty solid. And that FIP of 3.89 is right along at the rate of 3.68 that we saw from him last year. He has a higher ground ball rate of 52.5%, so that's really good. He also has a very low left on base rate of 54.7%. So he's been a bit unlucky, because that left on base rate generally averages around in the 70s. So anytime you have a left on base rate of 54.7%, that's awfully low. Normally pitchers don't allow that low of a number in terms of men left on base. So you're going to start to see more runners stranded for Garrett. So that's another sign of some positive regression there. However, the number that really, really sticks out to me is his swinging strike rate is down to 10.1%, and his strikeout rate is only at 20.4%, which is way lower than it was last year. Last year, he had a swinging strike rate of 12%. He still has an excellent walk rate of 2.9%. So you got a pitcher with a very good walk rate, a pitcher who's not going to hurt himself by walking guys and handing out free passes, and he's facing an offense, and he makes the offense beat him, right? Whenever he's not allowing free passes, that means the offense has to beat him, and the Cardinals' offense sucks. And so there's a really good argument to be made that he can do well. However, he's not missing bets. His average exit velocity is in the 1 percentile. So he is amongst the worst in the league in terms of average exit velocity. He's a 4 percentile for the hard hit rate. Guys, he's getting hit very hard. The whiff rate is down, especially on the slider. The slider whiff rate last year was 40.8%. That's down all the way to 28.8%. The changeup whiff rate last year was 32.2%. Now it's down to 28.2%. He's not missing bats. His strikeout upside isn't there. So there is some risk here, right? He's getting hit hard, and he's not missing bats. But what's an interesting dichotomy here, though, is he still only has a 20.0% line drive rate. And so that's actually below league average. So that's a bit weird, but he is allowing hitters to pull the ball more. So that makes it a bit concerning. However, overall, the dude's getting hit hard. There's a lot of risk. He's not missing bats. So I'm very much on the fence with Braxton Garrett for tomorrow. 12 teamers, everyday change. You want to use them. I won't blame you, because you'll be playing in the matchup, but just know there is risk. Okay. Let's talk Carson Spears. He has Pittsburgh, and this is a very, very deep league option because he does have a good matchup. So if you're in those, I would say 15 to 16 team leagues is about the point I would start to think about using him. 14 team leagues and shallower, there's a lot of risk. However, if he gets an opener, because he's typically been in the bullpen this year, he has 5 relief appearances this year. They're all out of the bullpen. They've all been bulk outings. He has 19 innings in those five appearances. So it's all been bulk. So there's a potential that the Reds give him an opener. If they give him an opener, that gives him a little more room to have a little more value, because that increases the likelihood of him getting a win. Because a big deal with Spires right now is that I don't know if he can go 5. I don't know if he can get to 5, and I don't know if he can get the win. Because the strikeout upside isn't really there with him. I'm rolling with him because he has the matchup against the Pirates, and he has really good numbers. He has a 2.33 ERA. The FIP is 2.52. And as a starter in AAA, he had been stretched out some. He had been stretched out some in the minors. He has 46.2 innings in 9 games, 8 starts. So he has the potential. He can go 5 or 6 innings. It's not like he can't, but in the majors, it's a different ball game, and so there is a chance that he doesn't go 5. But if he gets an opener, then I think that increases his value to a chance of getting a win. He's really good at avoiding hard contact. His exit velocity, barrel rate, hard hit rates all look good so far this year in the 19 innings he's pitched in the majors. So he doesn't allow hard contact so far. He has a very bad offense against the Pirates. I think it is a very real possibility that he does okay in deep leagues. I would roll with him starting on 15 to 16 teams or deeper. I can see you using him because he does avoid the hard contact and he has a good matchup. Overall, though, it is risky. I mean, he hasn't allowed a homer yet. He's a 0% on the home run to fly ball ratio. That's not going to continue. He's going to allow a homer. It might happen in this game. I don't know. But overall, avoiding the hard contact is what makes me think against a good offense. And especially if he gets an opener, keep an eye on that. That would increase the value and make him a solid deep league start. The last name on the list is a deep league win chance, and it's James Paxton. Y'all, that's all you hear for James Paxton. Anytime James Paxton is starting, you're in a deep league, use him for the win chance. That's all I got. His numbers are terrible. 13% strikeout rate, 12% walk rate, boo. A 3.92 ERA is bullshit with a 5.15 FIP, and the XFIP is even higher. Sierra is also 5+. James Paxton is just not someone I'm very interested in, and he's also one thing to keep in mind that makes the risk even worse for James Paxton is that it's going to be 90 degrees plus in Coors Field tomorrow. That's not the best hit. That's not the best pitching environment, but he can still go 5 innings. He can still get you a win. So that's about it with James Paxton. So if you really, really, really want to win, if you're not worried about the ERA whip, you're in a deep league and you're chasing a win, you can go with James Paxton. But I'm not, I don't really like to play all that much because it's not a great situation for him in a warm Coors Field. Alrighty, y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining me. It's been fun doing this podcast. You will hear me again tomorrow. And then you will get Anthony on Tuesday. Nathan will be back on Wednesday. And then I believe you have Anthony again on Thursday. You'll get me on Friday, Anthony again on Saturday, me back on Sunday. So guys, thank y'all so much. Oh, and then for tomorrow, keep an eye out on my podcast for tomorrow. It's going to be a longer one where I'm going to include an extra special topic. Let me know what y'all think that topic should be. Should I go back to buy low? Should I go back to buy low, sell highs? Because I've been doing that the last couple of times. I can just talk about all the injury news that's been happening lately, from Michael Harris to Justin Verlander. I can talk about that. I can dive deep into specific pitching matchups. I can dive deep into the aces because I talk a lot about streamers. I don't talk a lot about the state of guys like, let's say, Pablo Lopez, Kevin Gausman. What do I think about the more heavily rostered guys? Should I dive deep into that? What should I do? Let me know at PaulW_34, at PaulW_34. What do you want that extra topic to be? I have time tomorrow to do a longer podcast. I could do popular ads and popular drops. That's another idea. Who knows? Just let me know and I will try to serve. But if you don't let me know, I'll do whatever the hell I want. So at PaulW_34, at PaulW_34, let me know what you want to see. Don't forget to follow Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball at Ethos Fantasy BB, at Ethos Fantasy BB. Don't forget about the NFL dudes at Ethos Fantasy NFL, at Ethos Fantasy NFL to win that fantasy football league. As always, this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Thank y'all so much for joining me. Y'all have a great day.